Hello and a warm welcome to this edition of The Debate on Press TV. I'm your host, Behruz Najafi. We either build the wall or we close the border. Closing the southern border is a profit-making operation. That's how President Donald Trump threatened Congress regarding the impasse on the Mexico border funding. Now, it's the eighth day of the partial government shutdown, and the wall of distrust still stands tall between legislators and the president. Trump insists that he will not accept an extension of funding for closed government agencies unless it contains $5 billion for the border wall. Now, the House will soon assume a new makeup with Democrats in majority. What's the prospect of Mr. Trump's border wall funding? What'll become of migrants stranded at the border? Now, before starting tonight's debate, let me cross over to New York, where our correspondent Susan Mudaris is standing by to give us an update on the wall impasse in Washington. Susan, over to you.
That's right, Behruz. As you mentioned, it's the eighth day of what is called the government shutdown. And let's just take into consideration that perhaps the government shutdown, the phrase itself, it's a lot more dramatic than what's happening right now. If it continues to mid-January, January 9th to be exact, then there will be some agencies that will be impacted. Governmental assistance programs for the poor, like SNAP, the supplemental agency that provides food for those low-income families, they'll be funded all the way to the end of January. There's also other agencies that their first paycheck will come around January 9th or January 11th. So the government, while it's quote-unquote called it a shutdown, it's really not shut down for the time being, but there is concern that this is going to happen because the Democrats and Donald Trump and his supporters cannot agree on this border wall. What the Democrats are saying is that we have no incentive to negotiate on this border wall because we already agreed to pay national security and homeland security about $1.2 billion and $1.7 billion earlier in the year to provide security for the border, and there's no need for there to be a quote-unquote wall, and they don't know exactly how the makeup of this wall is, which is concerning for them. Is it going to be a fence? Is it going to be some kind of wall that's going to be unsafe in many aspects, not just for migrants to come and go, to what extent is it going to be effective? But this is a wall that has always been on Donald Trump's mind. This is his campaign promise. This is what he wants to be remembered by, this wall. And this wall signifies a lot for him. For one thing, it signifies, you know, making quote-unquote America great again, which means that less immigrants, more people who were born here. On the other hand, it signifies that he's a builder, a real estate person. You know, he'll have the opportunity to show off constructively, constructionally, so to say, on how he's able to build, because he always said that I'm a builder. And so these are, you know, these are some of the factors that he's taking into consideration. And he also thinks that the reason Congress is disagreeing with him is personal, because in 2006, Congress actually was about to pass a Safe Border Act. And Bob Menendez, who is from New Jersey, he's a senator from New Jersey, he was at the forefront of supporting that act. He's right now at the forefront of supporting those who are against Donald Trump. So there's much of a political frenzy going on, so to say, in Washington. But when we talk about a government shutdown, let's not forget that agencies haven't been quote-unquote shut down. People are still getting paid right now. So there is a panic mode that, you know, something will happen, as I mentioned, mid-January. But as for now, that's all that it is. It's concern and it's panic, and it's child's play, considering the fact that Democrats say they're the adult in the room. They're probably just waiting to give Donald Trump more of a hard time once they gain majority in Congress come early January.
All right, thank you for that update. Susan Mudaris, our correspondent, joining us from New York. Now, let me start this debate with former U.S. Army Psychological Warfare Officer Scott Bennett, who is joining us out of San Francisco. Good to have you with us, Scott. Now, do you think Congress will give in to President Trump's threat of shutting the Mexico border and demand for the wall funding?
No, I don't, because I think Donald Trump's instincts are this is a winning political issue for him in 2020, and he can ride this wave very effectively for the next 6 months at least, because there are so many dimensions that are brought in behind the wake of this issue. There is, of course, recently the death of Officer Singh and his being killed by a illegal alien from Mexico with MS-13 gang affiliations. That is precisely the bullseye of what President Trump has been saying to the American people. The absence of a border fence or barrier or wall creates a psychological entry for gangs and criminals to come in, and this is the result. So all of the police organizations are rallying behind him. California, of course, is in a state of civil war. They've had three movements to separate into a different state. The conservative side, which is newcaliforniastate.com, versus the liberal sanctuary city side, which is falling apart. And I think the conservative splitting is going to happen. The president's behind it. Donald Trump also wins to the American people by saying the Democrat Party of yesterday is gone. It is now a party of perverts, ignorance, violence, illegal chaos across the border, big government fascism. All of those things are very offensive to the American people. So he's got the good optics and the talking points to the abandoned blue dog Democrats that feel isolated. And he can very simply say, I'm about stability, I'm about safe police, not sanctuary cities. And quite frankly, the American people don't need a lot of these government programs and agencies. The faith-based community, for example, the mosques, the churches, can step in and fund the low-income families who need food or clothes or shelter. We've done it for 100 years before government assumed these responsibilities in the 1940s. We certainly can go back and, in the meantime, for the next 6 months, provide aid to these families. The government workers will always be paid. The money's already been appropriated, but they're just not getting paid right now because this is a political point where Donald Trump is stepping in saying, the American people ordered me to keep you safe. I am doing it. Now the American people need to order Congress to keep them safe by building a fence, a barrier, just to stabilize the border and not allow it to continue to go into chaos. And stop the human trafficking. Stop the sex slavery that comes across.
Scott, I got a question here. You just mentioned that Trump is saying that Congress should pay for this. But if you remember, and I'm sure you remember, during his campaign, one of his promises was that he was going to make Mexico pay for that.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's a very real prospect. I think Mexico may, in fact, end up paying that in some way, shape, or form. There are all sorts of creative ways that you can get with government financing and taxes and things like that. But Mexico is suffering from this massive caravan that was funded by George Soros and the Democrat Party. And thousands of these migrants and refugees are now stuck in squatting in Tijuana and other areas of Mexico on the Texas border, for example. So they are being seen by the Mexican people and the Mexican government as a very severe impediment. So Mexico and President Trump may be getting together to determine how to stop this flood up into Mexico, how certainly to stop it from coming into America. There's all sorts of joint military and intelligence operations that can be done. So I think President Trump is stepping into a political victory that he can say, you know, on the television, American people, you can continue going to your parks. You just don't have to have a park ranger or a government official collecting money from you. It's your park. It's your land. The Bureau of Land Management, first of all, is an unconstitutional entity. But putting that aside, the American people should have full access to their own lands, and the states govern the state parks. So a lot of these agencies that are being shut down are non-essential, and that is a good way to shrink the size of government by cherry-picking which ones are needed and which ones really are not, which ones can be, the services can be supplanted by the faith-based community or other community groups, and which ones the federal government aren't needed for. I work for the federal government, and I know it's a waste.
All right. And Scott, what about in terms of support? You know, outgoing Republican Congressman Ryan Costello was less than impressed by Trump's wall threat, saying that it was like an angry eighth grader's tweet. Does Trump enjoy the Republican support in this border wall thing?
Well, the thing about Donald Trump is he is best when his back is against the wall. He is best in a street fighting environment. He is a very blustering, bravado sort of personality. That's why the American people resonated with him. They're very tired of these bleached teeth, plastic haircut game show hosts who pretend to be leaders and they're not, these fake politicians. Who, incidentally, Nancy Pelosi is in Hawaii sunbathing and adding to her wrinkles, and Maxine Waters is in the Bahamas. That's an illustration of a failed party. Donald Trump is stepping up into the gap. He's tapped into the instincts of the American public. He's saying, I'm tired of politicians. I'm tired of the waste. I'm tired of an open border where people can come across and violate your towns, your cities, violate your women, kill your girls, kill your sons, kill your police officers. I want to stop all of that. And he can also introduce measures such as allowing the American public by executive order to carry and keep concealed weapons on them for personal safety. That is under the Constitution, Second Amendment. It's tried to be stopped by the Democrat fascists, but I think Trump can ride this into a variety of political advantages. And the only thing that would stop him and really cause him to fail is if he listened to the neoconservative establishment Republicans, which most conservative Americans despise because they've been responsible for these endless wars in the Middle East and such, and if he failed to honor the American people's election by doubling down on these wars in the Middle East. If he was foolish enough to pick a fight with Iran or Russia, it would end his presidency. He'd be done. And I hope he's not stupid enough to do that. I hope he stays out of a conflict with the Middle East and without Russia. He doesn't respond to any false flag attacks, which no doubt the deep state establishment will do. But he focuses on America first. He secures the border. He shrinks government, he lowers taxes, he gives the people of the country the right to protect themselves. He recognizes California as a state of rebellion. He recognizes newcaliforniastate.com as the alternative. And you could see a transformation in America. There's nothing racist or bigoted or violent about the American people wanting their children and their police and their state. Their states and their communities safe from intrusion, from invasion, from foreign sex traffickers and drug traffickers coming in. Now, there are ways to set up the economy so that people can come in and work and pick vegetables, but a separate issue. That comes after the wall.
Okay, Scott, let me also invite the other guests of ours. We have also Jacob Music, who is host of the Voice of Revolution Radio, joining us from Washington, D.C. Now, Jacob, I wonder how much of our discussion you've heard, but I wanted you to start with the first question I put to Scott, and that was if Congress will give in to Trump's threat of shutting Mexican border.
Yeah, it very well may do so. I know it seems since he's come to the presidency, more and more of the Republican Party has been not only forced, but is falling into line with his cult of personality and a lot of his goals because they are popular with certain segments of the electorate. So this very well could get funded. And while it would be seen overseas as a very harsh move, the Mexican border could potentially be sealed, but there would be such huge economic and migration problems associated with that. A lot of people, both Mexican and United States American, work on different sides of the border, and we know so much commerce going back to NAFTA and even before occurs between these two borders. So for closing the border for political reasons would probably hurt both the economies of Mexico and the United States severely.
Okay, I was just going to ask you the same thing. What would the closure of the Mexico border mean for the U.S. economically? It sure will come at a hefty price, not only for the U.S., but also for Mexico, don't you think? Jacob?
Yes, it would be bad for both of them, absolutely. And then there's also the humanitarian cost as well. You know, there are so many of these refugees who are in this so-called caravan that are pooled at these ports of entry, such as Tijuana and Juarez, which are some of the most dangerous places in Mexico that you can be. And so insisting that the migrants have to pool and stay at these places until they are processed puts them at such a risk. And we see, even if they get into American custody, we've seen at least two children already be dying when they have gotten into American custody. The situation in northern Mexico is very bad. We know that in terms of the United States, anti-Mexican feeling is high. So all around it is it an unfortunate situation. And weirdly enough, this is against the backdrop of a, quote, new NATO, which would reinforce the free trade ties between these two countries. So it would seemingly be incompatible for a new NATO, a new free trade agreement with Mexico, while at the same time closing the Mexican border. But if there is one of the themes of the Trump presidency that we have seen so far, it is that the greater policy goals don't necessarily have to be coherent.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go to Scott. Jacob just mentioned the plight of these migrants who are stranded. And to be more exact, on Christmas Eve, an 8-year-old Guatemalan boy died in U.S. custody at a New Mexico hospital. And also, 8th of December, this 7-year-old died at the El Paso Children's Hospital. Who's responsible for these deaths?
Well, of course, the parents who brought these children up from hundreds of miles from Central and South America, who've exposed them to the elements, who've deprived them of food and water and medicine, and had their little bodies simply give out. The American people aren't responsible for that. The American people aren't responsible for illegal acts crossing their border or illegal invasions or things like that. This is very plainly on the traffickers.
But yes, Scott, American people do not decide about politics. Mr. Trump decides. You know, he calls this a stupid immigration law.
Well, the legislatures in the individual states are responsible, you know, in Texas, in New Mexico, in Arizona, in California. Their borders are joint operations between the federal government and the state government. And the state governments are failing in this. Also, the federal government was failing under Obama. This is why President Trump is trying to step in and do something. And I think by securing the border first, it's a psychological deterrent. Remember, I worked in military psychological warfare. I know the simple
honestly, I really have to disagree with your other guest. I don't think that in any way that it's necessarily
from coming
that the Americans can shed responsibility
the country.
For
Excuse
this.
Me, sir. I'm speaking.
Because,
when I'm finished, then
okay,
you can
Jacob,
talk.
Come to you.
But the fence that provides a psychological deterrent to people coming into the country, and that secures the border to a certain extent. Then you can have other facilities that begin to analyze people's individual cases,
okay,
that begin to segregate them from women and children and men, but do not simply allow them to flood into the communities of Southwest America.
Okay. Scott,
that's what Americans object to, and that's what they want, secure.
Okay. Let's hear Jacob's side of the story. Jacob, go ahead.
Yeah, so, okay, if we're talking about individuals who are in custody of the United States forces and they die, then there's at least some sort of a blame that can be held onto the government custodians who are responsible for these people. Yes, it may not have been the most objectively good situation to have them grow up, but remember where these people are coming from, and people especially, I mean the children and the women and everybody. They're coming from a refugee status. They're coming from places that are politically fraught, economically depressed and dangerous. And so it can be argued that in many cases, this is a universal quality of parents, that they want their children to live better lives. These parents, just because they're, you know, Central American, doesn't mean that they're, you know, they make any better or less better decisions. They're making decisions they think are the best for their family. And in the end, it's different if they died on the way up there than it is than when they are supposedly in the custody of, you know, a nation, which is the United States, and they should be taken care of, even though the United States doesn't necessarily want to deal with them. They still have to observe good caretaking responsibilities when they have people in custody, whether that's in jail, whether it's children at the border, or anybody.
All right. Scott, in a few days, Democrats will be taking over the House. Incoming Speaker Nancy Pelosi says, I'm quoting her, the chamber will vote swiftly to reopen government and show Democrats will govern responsibly in a stark contrast to this chaotic White House. Now, what is expected to happen to the border wall funding? Briefly, we're running out of time. 30 seconds.
Well, if President Trump is smart, he'll split the Democrat incoming Congress and he will say, who stands with the American people? Democrats who stand with the American people, who want to secure our borders, come over to my side and let's make a deal. Those who are the ideological fascists, perverts, ignoramuses, and violent thugs who tear down statues and want open, chaotic borders so they can replace the old blue dog Democrats with this mass flood of illegal immigrants and make them voters, you're on the side and you're destined to extinction. But for those people who want to come in and make a deal, split from the old Democrat Party and let's make a deal.
Scott. Okay, Jacob, 30 seconds, please. Go ahead.
That's very interesting what we just heard, because I think there's probably zero connection between perversion, fascism, and tearing down statues. But I don't think
Antifa.
The Democrats will support any of these measures. They're very unpopular among Democrats. It's not going to happen, and probably some moderate Republicans will also be against this.
All right, on that note, we'll come to the end of this debate. Let me thank our guests who joined us, former U.S. Army Psychological Warfare Officer Scott Bennett from San Francisco and host of Voice of the Revolution Radio, Jacob Music, out of Washington, D.C. Thank you for watching this debate. We'll see you soon.